Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and I am here live from the station. And we have such a great lineup for you today. We have Mr. Michael Reynolds joining us in just about 20 minutes or so. We're going to be in the second segment, getting a late start today, but we're getting a start. That's all that matters. Praise God. We're doing some exciting things this last couple of weeks, just trying to get all this ministry stuff moving forward. There's so much stuff to get done. And I got to tell you this. I've been really pressed in my heart lately just to share with you just that you need to just trust God. You know, I mean, we hear it all the time. We hear it from the pulpits all the time. We do. And when we hear God just wanting us to do something, have you ever wanted to do something and you just didn't have what you needed? You just didn't have what you needed, but it was a good idea, or you really believe God sent you to do it, and you really, really knew that He was calling you to do this, but you just didn't have what it took to take care of it. If my voice sounds kind of raspy, I am just coming over the, not a cold or anything, it just my voice is just coming back from being part of the ICRS 2013, which we did several interviews. And we're excited about what we did over there. And in fact, I might play one. Who knows? I might play one today. Maybe not, because we have Mr. Michael Reynolds. But next week, I may not have a guest. I could probably play. How many of you would like to hear Michael Nowrocki's? I believe I'm saying Nowrocki's interview. It was a 10-minute interview, and it was really awesome. And I think you'd enjoy it. And we'll have that. We have Sherry Kagi, we have so many. We have Mike Glendon Jr., we have Brian Bosworth. So next week will be kind of a, I'll talk a little bit and we'll play an interview on the first segment, then we'll go to our guest. How about that? I don't know if we have enough time on this one. In fact, I don't even know if we actually have the songs or the audios on the files. Anyway, I can check. But anyway, you just need to trust God. You need to trust God. Do the things that you want Him to do, because there's no other way, no other possible way for things to happen in your life unless you trust God. When you trust God and when you're totally dependent on Him, you're totally dependent on what He's doing and how He's changing and adding to your life, then that is when He's going to happen. I mean, when we run the ministry, I tell you, the other day we got a gift from just a PayPal gift. It was just a very nominal gift, but it wasn't the amount that counted. It was from where it was at. It was all the way from the UK, and this lady donated this gift, and it was a blessing. Why? It was something that I didn't have to go and ask for. Praise God. It was something, I'm not the best at raising funds and asking people. I don't like doing that. I like trusting God. But it encouraged me. I sent her, I was so excited that she sent something. I sent her a website. We have our website and stuff that we have things on, and it's called David Yanez Online. There's a password to get into this. It has all my ebooks, all my sermons, everything that's on my book table when I go preach places is there. And we went ahead and we sent that to her, and I was excited only because of this, my friends. It proved to me that God could put on people's heart that to give, regardless, unexpectedly. I tell you, the most precious thing sometimes is unexpected gifts, and you appreciate that, because I depend on God. I don't depend on the donors. I don't depend on different sponsors for events. I don't depend on man. I don't depend on churches. I don't depend on the people that broadcast as well. When you start depending on them, that's when you start to stress, my friends. When you start depending on them, that's when you start having a little bit of an issue. So I want to encourage you to trust God, and that God is going to be a blessing to you, and that God's going to make things happen for you. We're going to go in and put on the interview from the NRB with Mike Nowacki. Mike Nowacki is the Larry Boy, or Larry, the Cucumber. And we're going to go and play that. I think it's just about maybe 10 minutes, and we'll be right back. I just want to get this. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Let's see if this works. I'm using my wife's laptop or my wife's iPad. And here we go. And we're seeing if it works. I don't think it's working. Oh, I know why. Here we go.
All right, yeah, way to go, man.
Hey, man, so how's your experience been so far here at iSeries?
It's been great. Been here a couple days and done some interviews. We're excited. We're premiering.
Let's restart that for you because it didn't sound right.
David Yanis, again here at the iSeries 2013 in St. Louis, and we're on our last day of broadcasting and recording and everything. And I was asked just a week ago if I can get this tall gentleman in. You might recognize him as the voice of many characters on VeggieTales, and of course, Larry Boy, Mr. Michael Nowacki.
Nowacki, that's right.
I got
right,
it right. I almost had
right.
it.
Yeah, way to go, man.
Hey, man, so how's your experience been so far here at iSeries?
It's been great. Been here a couple days and done some interviews. We're excited. We're premiering a sneak peek of our Christmas episode this evening.
Oh, okay.
So Merry Larry is the name of that one.
Merry Larry
and the True Light of Christmas. Yeah, so.
I can imagine that one already just with the title.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I've been a fan of VeggieTales for many years. My kids, of course, watched it, and my wife's watched it as well. And then, like I was telling you before we came on the air, especially this last one, McLarry and the Stinky Cheese.
Yep.
We enjoyed a pre-screening of it, and it was so amazing. My kids were like, oh, we're too old to watch VeggieTales. I go, man, you're never too old. Come on, let's watch it. And I had to like really get them in that living room, and then they all start sitting down, and you know, they're motioning around getting their chips or getting their soft drink and getting relaxed. And all of a sudden I look back and they're cracking up in the kitchen, and they come back and they're all laying down watching it. And
that's awesome.
And they just enjoyed it, and they understood the story, of course, but they're like, yeah, this is, he goes, you know, Dad, they've really gotten really good, haven't they? He goes, of course they know everything. It must be the CNG.
The CGI animation. Exactly.
But tell us, what was the storyline? Who put the storyline together? Did you put it together for them?
Yeah, we put it together at Big Idea. That's what we do. We primarily, we build scripts and stories, and we typically will have, three or four ideas going at once. And then once we get the idea for the story, we'll develop it into a script, and then we'll go over that, and then make it into a story reel. But creating that story, typically takes about 6 months. And by the time we got the story right, then we go into animation.
So how many do you put out a year?
We do three a year, and we always have several episodes in various forms of various stages in production. So for instance, right now, this one's coming out. We're finishing up on our Christmas show, and then we're also working on, we're about ready to go into animation on our show for next spring.
Wow, so you're already working spring.
Yeah, already we're working spring, and we've got ideas brewing for next Christmas.
You have to be about 9 months ahead?
At least a year ahead.
You said a year ahead.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, because our summer show, we're developing the screenplay for our summer show. Right
and
now,
the VeggieTales genre, that just took off. What year is that when that came out?
We're celebrating our 20th year anniversary this year.
20 years.
Yeah, so 1993.
You know, in our show, we always just like to pat everybody on the back for longevity.
All right,
longevity. That's what it is about ministry. It's like, it's about stay. It does not matter how fast you get there.
Yeah.
It matters how long you stay in it.
Yeah,
and the quality that you bring with it, and the growth, and I can see that there's been a lot of just growth and quality. Even this last one, I haven't seen one for years, and it just took me back to remember. My favorite one was the one with the chocolate bunny.
Oh yeah, Rackshack and Benny.
that was my favorite one.
Yeah,
and it's like the kids will sing that still. The bunny.
Bunny. Yeah,
they love that. So without giving the entire plot away, give us a highlight of what the
Sure, absolutely.
Cheeses.
Well, McLarry, plays a misfit barbarian. He's a member of a group of barbarians. They're actually barbarians who give bad haircuts. So yeah. It's the name. And they're doing battle with Rome. And so the two peoples are, you know, kind of bickering back and forth. And McLary, he's not into that. He doesn't like to battle. He likes to invent. Mm-hmm. And so, but among his own tribe, he's sort of a misfit because he doesn't like to battle because it's a battling culture. And so, people don't understand what he does and, you know, what his thing is. And so but his gifts of inventing end up healing the rift between the two peoples. And so, it's a message in getting along with others and using the gifts that God gave you to help other people. So,
amen. And how'd you come up with that idea?
You know, it was one of the ideas we thought.
The Stinky Cheese.
Yeah, the Stinky Cheese.
Tell us about that part.
We love the idea of doing kind of a Scottish Celtic sort of thing, you know, kind of a Braveheart feel, you know, vegetables and kilts. And so it started off with that idea of having, you know, just in that world. And then we just developed it internally. A guy named Dustin Ballard, who worked with us for a number of years, came up with the initial concept, and then we developed it out into a story from there.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Did you ever envision this 20 years ago?
Oh, absolutely not. No, we just, you know, we really wanted to tell stories that would help parents pass on biblical values to their kids. You know, that first episode that we did, Where's God When I'm Scared, was one of the very first things done in computer animation. The industry was so new at the time. We felt we had important stories to tell. And we hoped that we could keep telling them, but making that first one was such a big hurdle for us. I just remember feeling relieved. Oh, we made a story. Great. What do we do now? And so, but now 20 years later, it's just amazing to see, what the lives it has touched and how God has used it over the years.
And what's big ideas, biggest accomplishments you think in the past 20 years?
Well, I think, like you said, longevity. You know, to have been here 20 years is pretty.
It's tough. I mean, you look at a lot of the animation, even in secular world. I mean, like Hanna-Barbera, they had to make a lot of changes for Cartoon Network, and then a lot of Boomerang just to keep things moving. And there's a lot of changes in the industry. And
you have
a lot of things. There's other people that come up with different animations and stuff.
Yeah.
So just to have that, you know, I like to tell everybody this: it's content. You know, we have so many people listening on our radio and TV station, and we don't publicize, we don't really get out there, but people come back, we have 376 hours of listening just on our radio station every day, and it's because the content brings people back, like this, the content brings them back, they know they're going to get a good story for the kids, and that the parents even enjoy watching them, so.
Yeah, well, we love that, and we spend so much time trying to get that content right, trying to get the story entertaining and to flow, and to really highlight the lessons well, and so, you know, we really work hard at it, and, you know, we're just thrilled that we've had the reception that we've had over the years.
Any big celebration coming up for the 20-year milestone?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, part of, it was Christmas of 93 when we started, and so our big Christmas celebration is coming up this year. We've got some, around that Christmas show, we've got some great partnerships with Operation Christmas Child, and also we have a live show that's touring, Happy Birthday Bob and Larry, that's going around the country in celebration of our 20 years as well. So the tour rolled out in spring, and then we took a break in the summer, and it's rolling out again in the fall. So coming to a town near you.
Oh, wow.
folks can check out VeggieTales.com to get information about the live show.
And the planning for the next 20 years?
Yeah, we're planning for the next 20 years. You know, we want to just keep telling stories. You know, I feel we feel like stories have such a powerful impact in kids' lives. Kids get their idea of how the world works from stories. And, we just want to continue to tell stories that remind kids that God made them special and he loves them very much.
You know, and you came out during a perfect storm when VHS and DVD where DVD was coming on top of VHS, and that became a very exciting thing for people to have. And that was like a perfect story.
It really was. A lot of it was the right place at the right time. You know, the emergence of computer animation, nonlinear editing.
Yeah,
I see your Final Cut over here. Yeah. You know, it's like you can't imagine putting something this together with the traditional linear editing. You know, it's just and all that technology converging, and then home video, and later DVD. It was just been. It's been
great. Can you imagine what's going to be delivering the messages and stuff in 20 years?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and for us, you know, we're looking toward the next 20 years. We just signed a deal with Netflix. Produce a direct-to-Netflix series with VeggieTales. So we're going to continue doing our DVDs just like we always have, but also do a Netflix series as well.
And
so.
When will McLarry and the Stinky Cheese Battle be released?
This one's coming out July 27th.
Okay, so that's pretty good. So we'll make sure that this is airing around that time for
okay,
you.
Okay, okay, that sounds
you
great.
You can have that and stuff. Awesome. Can you give us a quick Larry boy for everybody?
Sure! Hello, everybody! Always remember, God made you special. And he loves you very much. Goodbye.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
All right. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
God bless. And we'll be back with another great guest.
Amen. That was Mike Nowacki. And the dude is tall. He is very tall. And it was exciting with him. Just meeting him and seeing his heart. He's just a really simple guy. And you'd expect them to be, just... Hey, they're doing a lot of stuff out there. Anyone, like I was telling him before the interview, anyone can get a big head. I think I was telling Clay Cross this. Anyone could get a big head, and whatever we're doing and seeing the movement. But when those that know, those that recognize that it's God, that it's not us, that's when you know that you're gonna go even further. Because when you put it that God's doing it, like the other day I was telling one of my sister-in-laws, I don't know which one it was, but that. They got to recognize the blessing, recognize when God does something for them and give God the glory. It's not you, it's not me, it's not anyone else, but God makes things happen. And when you keep that attitude, and of course you want to thank the people that help you or bless you, obviously, but when you keep that happening, when you make that happen, you will see more in your life. You will see more things happen in your life. You will see more things adjust in your life. You will see the blessings happen and God just doing great things for you. Because you constantly give him the glory and your attitude stays that it'll keep you humble. It'll keep you to where your heart is excited for God. And whenever the blessings come in and God wants to bless you where there's not enough room for it. Can you imagine that? God wants to bless you to where there's not enough room for it and you have to make room for the blessings of God. When you are walking with him and trusting him and doing the things that he tells you to do, that is when, my friends, that is when God is going to bless and going to continue to bless. But that is when you can be trusted. Hello, come on. Can we say trusted? We can be trusted with the things that God wants to give us. You see, if you take all the credit, or you say, hey, yeah, I did this and that, then yourself is going to continue to try and do this and that, and you're going to try and make things happen. There's ambition, and there's just faith and trust for God. God loves, yeah, but when ambition sometimes takes the place of trusting God and sometimes put the activity on me, I can do this. But when you have faith and you just trust God, you can be aggressive and then trust God in faith and know that God will be a blessing. Because it's not you. Nothing you did, nothing you said, nothing you made, nothing you did made anything happen. Praise God. But you just trusted in faith. It takes a man to stand there and believe in faith, yes. But the true blessing is that God is able to do it. God's the one that adds the increase. You know, the Bible says, some water, some sow, some water, and God and adds the increase. So we got to remember that. We got to keep our hearts pure. Keep our hearts completely focusing on God. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Please send me a letter or a gift to help the things running over here that we're doing. You can also email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. That's david@revmedianetwork.com. And you can also go online and give at Rev Ministries, forget the www's. Just revministries.com, revmedianetwork.com. DavidYanisMinistries.com. You can give on any of those sites. And we thank you for being a part of the broadcast. We're coming back with Michael Reynolds in just a few minutes. God bless. We'll be right back.
Right there, young man. Are your hands clean? Crazy as it sounds, researchers have been lurking in public restrooms, spying on people to make sure they wash their hands after using the facilities. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment to share their findings.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies. And they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Researchers recently staked out public restrooms in four U.S. cities and found that only 15% of us failed to wash our hands before leaving. That's not bad compared to 2007, when nearly a quarter of people failed to address their hand hygiene. Women were the cleaner sex, with 93% washing up, compared to just 77% of men. Although statistics could use some improvement, I found the thought of people spending hours in dirty bathrooms watching and waiting while the rest of us go about our business downright bizarre. Yes, it's important to wash your hands before leaving the bathroom because it helps prevent the spread of disease, not because the bathroom police are watching. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Family expert Trace Embry with insight for today's culture.
Good character is what any good parent wants for their kids. But don't parents first need to know what determines good character and how it's built? The godly parent knows that these answers are found in Scripture. But these paths to good character often contradict pop psychology and political correct worldly wisdom. The uncomfortable truth is that building good character most often comes not from our triumphs, but through our tragedy, our struggles in life. Is worldly wisdom what we want as the desired end for our young people? Aren't they, from the worldly perspective, wise enough? It's time we allow our kids to endure and sort through the natural consequences of their actions so they may grow in godly character and acquire the mind of Christ.
Get biblical answers to the tough questions you and your family deal with every day. Go to LicenseToParent.org. License to Parent with Trace Embry. Insight for today's culture.
Do you know that you are unique? That you are one of a kind? Hi, I'm Terry Squires, and I'm here to tell you today that there will never, ever, ever, ever be another you. God made you special, and He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He wants a one-to-one relationship with you. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6 states, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." Start today and be one with the one who knows you best and loves you most. Won't you join me today to impact the lives of others at www.terrysquires.com? Let's reach the world together, one life at a time.
I don't know about you, but deep within my fallen nature, I feel the burning flame of anger, of hatred. It's in every human heart. It's at the core of all human conflict. Our only hope is the gospel of peace. I'm Perry LaHaye. My friends at HCJB Global just told me about Taseer. He once was a Palestinian fighter trained as a sniper to kill Jews. His hate was so deep, he even taught kids that it was their duty to fight and kill Israelis. Then Taseer met Kareem. Kareem was the nicest guy Taseer had ever met. Taseer couldn't figure out why, and he begged Kareem to tell him. Kareem told him that he was a follower of Jesus. And then he said, "Taseer, if you want the same peace that I have, you need God to change your hateful heart." The truth cut deep into Taseer's angry heart, and he surrendered his life to Jesus. Today, Taseer reaches out to Muslims and Jews with the good news of Jesus. Taseer is doing his part to reach Muslims, but he can't do it alone. There are only 3 workers for every 1 million Muslims. So go! Cast yourself in at frontiersusa.org.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
I asked Matt Caesar, the 2 sports athlete from Villanova, if prayer was a factor before he gave bone marrow to a 2-year-old girl with leukemia.
Yeah, I think it did a lot. Myself and my family and friends prayed every night for this little girl and just wanted her to survive and be the best she could be, you know, being able to live a good life, a normal life, because, you know, she was young. She was close to 2 years old, but, I mean, once she starts to get older, she's going to be thanking me for this, you know. It's an awesome thing to do, and of course, you know, we prayed every night for her.
Someone said prayer moves the hand that moves the world. God tells us to burden Him with whatever burdens us, because prayer does change things. Now go to a secondlookatsports.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have a very special guest, and I'm excited to have him. And we were contacted this week, asked if we would love to have him on the show, and I said, of course. I've just seen everything that he does. I love doers. I love people that are involved in many things. They just let God lead them where they want to go. Mr. Michael Reynolds, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Amen. Well, for those that don't know who you are, just tell them a little bit about yourself. Tell them your testimony, and then we'll just jump right in, brother.
Well, I am Michael K. Reynolds, and author of a series of Irish historicals, and I have a second book that's just releasing that I'm sure we'll talk about called In Golden Splendor. And the three books were written for an audience. I want it to be written for a general audience, but they definitely have some deep spiritual rooting in them, and truthfully, a lot of them come out of kind of my testimony and my experience, and just challenges and blessings of life. But they're written out with adventure, suspense, and all those kinds of things. I've been blessed with a life of a lot of exciting things and a lot of challenges, and praise God. God's been it's been wonderful for me in my life. So
amen.
Excited to share some of that with you.
Amen. So did you pick the genre of Heirs of Ireland? Did you pick that? Is that part of your history as well? I mean, do you have a lot of family that's Irish and stuff like that?
Yes. I actually, ever since it's probably about 15, you know, I guess you would call it a calling, but this was really before I was really walking with the Lord. But I think God was whispering in my ear all along. I just wanted to be a novelist, and had written three books by the time I was about 20 years old, and then went to college and was going to work on, you know, when you're a novelist, you want to write the great American novel.
Yes, absolutely.
this was in college was my goal, but I was so busy with all the work of college and stuff, I only got as far as the title, which was Flight of the Earls, and it was going to be an Irish historical covering the Great Potato Famine and Irish immigration in the 1840s. And the reason for that, I'm a redheaded guy, and when you're a redheaded guy and you've got Irish heritage, you become super Irish. I tell people on Patrick's Day, I don't need to wear green, you know, so you can't pinch me if I'm a redhead. But what was interesting is that, you know, that was kind of my plan, was that I was going to be this novelist. And just God had, he had not revealed to me yet that there would be about a 20-year detour in that particular plan.
He does that. He does that to us. So what was your detour, my brother? What was your detour?
Well, you know, it was interesting because, again, I've lived a life where I've been one of those that have consistently run through yellow lights, you know, and a few red lights too as well. And it took me about 20 years to learn that, you know, when God has a path set out for you, it's all green lights, and that waiting is a lot of what he had planned. And I can tell you that the greatest blessing of the first novel in this series, which was my debut novel, Flight of the Earls, which came out in January, the greatest blessing was he didn't let me write it 20 years ago, because I wouldn't have liked the way that it came out. It wouldn't have been about him. I just didn't like people, if I'm being really honest, and I was very much into really very self-centered life, and kind of came to the Lord a few years later, met my wife, and together we decided that we wanted to have a family that was in the church, and so we went in very raw into the church. In fact, I remember meeting with the pastor, which is one of those really embarrassing stories, but when you look back on it, I met with the pastor, and we were planning to getting married in the church, and I said, well, I'm trying, you know, that if you were a member of the church, the marriage was, the wedding was free. If you weren't a member of the church, then you had to pay a fee. And so I was basically discussing with the pastor, and bless his heart, he was such a sweet, sweet man, Pastor Glenn, and just a real, I think, a real testimony to when you've got raw people that really don't know the Lord and aren't walking with Christianity, just to be so gentle with them, because I was such a brute. I was basically saying, well, if I was a member, what would be the expectations of what I would be paying each week? And I was trying to calculate whether it made it more sense to be a member financially or just to pay the fee for the church. And he was so sweet and gentle, and they kind of brought us into the church, and then soon they found out that I played guitar, and then they got me involved in with the worship band, and you know, in a very short period of time, you know, God just took both my wife and I and just really slapped us upside the head with joy and excitement, and we were all in and leading worship, and then also as an elder after a very you know, short time, and looking back on it, probably a little early for me to be an elder at that time, but that really led a journey to where just really fell in love with the Lord, really fell in love with God's people, learned to love people, learned to be excited about people, and then God did a wonderful thing for me. I always wanted to have a boy, and God did me much better. He gave me three girls, and so you know, having a wife and three girls who now are three beautiful young ladies. God really taught me about women, you know,
I bet.
Book, Flight of the Earls, is written with a lead protagonist who is a woman, and there is no way that I would have been able to write that book 20 years earlier and without having the heavy training coming from my wife and my three daughters, and just really taught me just this beautiful perspective of just how to appreciate women so much and to have so much respect for them. And so when that book released in January, it was just with incredible gratitude. You think that you're drifting and that it's not what, you know, God wants you to do, but what he had done as far as me getting married and having a family is I went from this idea of I'm just going to be this poor writer and whatever it takes, I'm just going to force my way to it. He said, well, now you got a wife and you've got responsibility and now you've got kids and babies and you've got responsibility. And so he kind of took me through a route of I started working at newspapers first and got a lot of training. If you want to learn how to write 10 stories a week.
Wow. You
know, with a gun to your head. That's basically what you're doing. You learn about deadlines. And then I've been writing at the newspaper and, you know, for 2.5-3 years, and I loved it. But journalists, you don't get paid a whole lot. And also, by the time I got home from work after doing all that writing, what's the last thing that you want to do?
It's right.
It is right. And so there again, I felt like, gosh, I got to write this book, and I want to get into novels, and this is really my dream, and really feel this calling. And so I decided to get a job at a place where it would be just a really brain-dead job, where I would just have a really simple job. I could actually be thinking of plots and characters while I'm doing the work. And then when I'd get home, I'd be really excited about writing. And so I got a job at a company, a watch company, and I was repairing watches. And this isn't really fancy, heavy-duty.
No kidding.
You know, three generations of expert. I'd basically flip off the back of the watch, swap out a battery, and then close it up. And it was great. I was really having time to think and learn. But then again, God had another plan. The owners of the company found out that I had some business acumen, which I didn't even know that I had, and within a few months I was executive vice president and then going to New York and making million-dollar deals with, and so that took me through a whole area of copywriting, and then I got involved with, I started my own marketing agency and was writing copywriting, And then God took me to a path about six years ago, into writing documentaries. And it was then that I wrote and produced some documentaries which were anti-crystal meth documentaries. And those were another thing. It was a complete God thing because it was nothing that I had done. I mean, I could tell you story after story of where God came in and intervened in just incredible ways. But in our small town in Reno, we decided to do a documentary, a lot of story behind that, and God leading that effort. But what happened is all of the TV stations in our area agreed to air it simultaneously.
Wow.
And so they blocked out all programming, and they aired it. We had the schools telling all the kids to write book reports on the documentary. So they sat down with their parents. We had the Rotary clubs involved. We had the governor involved. It was an amazing thing. And then the program aired. They believed it to be the most watched program of all time in our community of Reno. And we had a huge problem with meth at the time. And so at the same time, it pretty much just about broke my tiny little marketing company that had been producing everything. And so we were so excited to be done, to be honest, and to get back to focusing on how do we keep our doors open. And, of course, God had different plans, and First Lady of Nevada said, hey, look, you've done that in northern Nevada. If you don't do it in southern Nevada, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. And so in a few months, we did the same thing in Las Vegas. It was the most watched program of all time. And then we started getting calls. We went out to Oregon, did a statewide campaign, San Diego, Sacramento, the entire state of Arizona, New Mexico. We ended up in Mexico even, and when it was all said and done, over 30 million people had been impacted by these campaigns that we did across the United States. And again, time after time, it was nothing to do with any of my capabilities or connections. God just really rose up his people throughout the country. It was just amazing. I'd work with the head of the DEA for the state, and it just turns out that he's a dye-in-the-wool hardcore Christian, you know, and it gets out through the testimony. And so it was amazing. He just rose people up from all over the place. And so through doing that and then continuing with my business, I had a friend who came to my Bible study and was leading a Bible study with my wife, and he shared that I just got a three-book contract with this publisher, and I'm so excited. And everybody was, you know, congratulating him and giving him hugs, and I was there just with completely unrighteous envy.
We've all been there, Mike. We've all been there.
And I put on my best face and everything, but I was going, wow, what happened? You know, 20 years ago, I was going to write this great, American novel, and I've had a blessed life and these great opportunities, but that's never gone away. And so my friend dragged me to a writer's conference, and I ended up thinking, because it had been so long since I had written fiction, that I was incapable of writing fiction because I had written documentaries and journalism and different things. And so I had gone and pitched a nonfiction project, and one of the advantages of being a business owner for so long is that you're used to the word no.
Yes.
So you've heard no, and you've been rejected many times that the pitching part isn't very hard for you. So I was having so much fun pitching all these nonfiction ideas that I had worn out every single nonfiction editor in the entire conference, to the point of they would see me coming and they would turn and walk away in the other direction and go, here comes that redheaded guy again. And so finally, I still had a day left of the conference and was having so much fun, I decided to sit at one of the fiction tables. And so I sat at the other side of the table. And the way that these writers' conference works is that you have dinner there, and the editor will ask the first person, what are you working on? And you basically have 30 seconds to make your pitch. You've been working on this book for 4 years, you know, and you have 30 seconds for it to either sink or float. And they're coming around the table, and all of a sudden, I just get this strong call from God who says, okay, Michael, I'm ready for you to write books.
Amen.
And so he said, I want you to go ahead and pitch that story that you had in college, Flight of the Earls, about Irish immigration in the 1840s. And so here we're coming around the table, and I'm scrambling in my head, how am I going to pitch this? And so it comes to me, and I pitch, the story is about a young man who, at the onset of the Irish potato famine, needs to go to America. And there he finds adventure, romance, and discovers a terrible family secret that can threaten all he has and his faith. And the editor listened to that and said, wow, I really like that. That's a unique period, and it's a really good story. But did you know, Michael, that 70% of our readers in the CBA, which is the Christian Booksellers Association, are women? If your lead character was a woman, I think you'd have a much better chance of getting published. And so I went to the next table, and at the next table I pitched it. There was a young lady who immigrated from Ireland, and the editor at the other side of the table said, wow, Michael, I really like that. Can you go ahead and send in your manuscript? And I had to explain that I hadn't written the first word of it. So, but it was 1 year later that I ended up connecting with the publisher. I had only 70 pages written, which, you know, it's very unusual for you to get a contract without having the entire manuscript written, got an agent, and then they asked for it to be three books instead of one, and really, again, it was all green lights, and God knew I needed 20 years of hard labor and training to develop myself to where he was willing to allow me to get involved in the writing. And I can't say it was an easy process. It was very challenging in many ways, but it's been just a huge blessing, and it's been so exciting. And I just love doing the fiction. I mean, writing the stories and getting back to doing it and developing characters and developing plots and twists, it's just been an amazing journey.
Amen. That is a lot of history there, brother. But that's how God does it. When you know it's from God, He's gonna take you through that detour to get you ready. And I like what you said, that you knew it was nothing that you were doing, but God was doing this. And God, even with the crystal darkness videos that you made, God was orchestrating that. You had no idea what He was doing. And it's giving God the glory. We were talking about that just before we got you on the air, about giving God the glory in everything that you do. And I can see that's happening. Tell us about In Golden Splendor. How's that book work up?
Yeah, the entire series, the first book, Flight of the Earl, starts with the Irish immigration, and so the Hanley family starts from the potato famine. The potato famine was huge. They had 8 million population in Ireland, and 2 million, of 2 million, they either died or immigrated. So 25% of the country, you know, was impacted by that. So that covers the story of them immigrating to New York, and also involves the Mexico-American War. And the second book, In Golden Splendor, takes up. Now, if you remember me saying that I initially pitched the brother, that he was the one who immigrated, I get to write about him in the second book.
So he ends up
being the lead character in the second book. And the story starts out with he's had a very, very challenging life, and it's been very difficult. He's a handsome guy. He's funny. He's got character, but he's one of those that just can't seem to get a break. He had a very tough relationship with his father, and so we start off with him where he is in the mountains of Colorado. He's a mountain man, but he's not a very good one. He's not even pulling this off very well. His home, it's in terrible shape. He didn't build it very well. He's not a very good hunter. And one of his mountain man friends puts his arm around him and basically says, son, I don't think you're cut out for this life. And so at that moment, he ends up stumbling across, in the middle of a snowy winter, a stagecoach crash. And in that, there's bags of mail, and one of the letters spills out. He ends up opening up the letter, and this photograph of this beautiful woman pops out. And in a letter, basically, she's in San Francisco during the gold rush time, and it's a distress letter saying she's in trouble and she needs help. And so thus starts the journey of him across the Old West through historic Yosemite and on the way through historic San Francisco. And so it covers his adventure of really finding himself, finding romance, and really finding that connection with his faith as well. And of the three books, the first book, Flight of the Earls, covers kind of that fatherhood. And then the second story covers the son and that relationship and salvation. And then the third book, Songs of the Shenandoah, is really about that Holy Spirit and that hearing God's voice while you're here on earth. And that covers the Civil War period. And so it's a very fascinating time period in American history where, we had huge immigration problems, we had huge financial debt, and we had a nation divided. Now, does that sound familiar at all?
Yes, sounds very much very where we're at.
So 150 years in the past, and we were facing those in a very big way. And if you think about it, you look at the Civil War, I mean, we talk about our nation being divided now, but imagine actually fighting each other and being in a full battle. And we survived it back then, and we can survive it back now. But the overriding theme through the story, and I think going through that, is that, you know, we can get so lost in politics and our struggles of the day and all the things that we're going, but ultimately it's distracting us from really our ultimate goal, which is that eternal perspective. And so although the stories, you know, when you're covering something like the Great Potato Famine, as in the first book, Flight of the Earls, it's very heavy and people are going through really difficult challenges. Each of those books has intricately weaved in there the hope that God offers us. And I just figure if people are going to read 105,000 or 110,000 words of my books, that they ought to get some hope out of it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what has the response been out there with the first book?
We've been really blessed. The reviews have been amazing, and you know, when you write in this cave, and you're doing the best you can. But you know, you're the only one who's seeing it, and then you go through an editor process. But it's not until that book comes out, you know, and it starts showing up on the shelves, that you really start getting the feedback. And what was, I think, really exciting and encouraging is that you see that the things you had intended, you know, to be funny or to be impactful or characters to have a certain impact, when you start getting that feedback from your readership that, wow, I really connected with Claire, the lead character, and I felt so deeply for Seamus, you know. And most of all, when they come and they write things like, you know, I finished this story, and at the end, it just left me with thoughts of God. You know, then you know that there was some value to what you did.
Amen. Now it shows on here that you're one of the top ranked Twitter individuals, top 50 on Twitter. So that's pretty neat.
Well, yeah, I'm blessed. I have about 113,000 Twitter followers, and that's part of. I have a blog called Real Life, Real God. And I call, you know, we all look for kind of what our personal ministries are, and there's people that have giftings in all different areas. I've just kind of discovered that God's used me for a preaching to the choir ministry.
Okay.
And basically what that is, I just feel that, you know, we so often think that the people that are in our choir, and I equate that to the people that are really active in our churches, the 5 or 10%, mm-hmm. We kind of ignore them. We think that they're good, you know, and that they're on the right track and that kind of thing. But in reality, I found that so many of them really need strengthening. They really need encouragement. They really need that continued cheering, you know, to continue to do the path. And God's kind of given me my gifting is really working with those people, your deacons, your elders, your volunteers, your different folks that really love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. But if they're being really honest, there's times they're burned out. There's times that their prayer life isn't what it is supposed to be. There's times where they question God, and they don't feel comfortable sharing that because they're expected to be leaders of the church and they're expected to be those. And I think there becomes a loneliness that you can sometimes have. And so I, you know, with my blog, I share a lot of my failings, which happen to be I have a very large background of failings and shortcomings.
Amen.
And I just find by sharing those that it allows people to feel, you know, a little bit of, oh, you're going through that too.
Amen.
And I think people find that encouraging.
Amen. Well, share everybody your websites that you want to give them.
Yes, it's michaelkreynolds.com. is the website, and you can see the books, and there's links to where you can get those. They are in all the bookstores, and In Golden Splendor is just coming out, so it's starting to come in bookstores. If it's not in one, please ask your bookstore person there. But it's also, you'll see on the site, you can subscribe to the blog, Real Life, Real God. Would love to have you connect with me there.
Amen, brother. And it's good to see that you're using your writing gift as well on the blog. And just, I mean, God is using that. All this fine-tuning, 20 years, God is using it right now to reach a hurting.
I wish it was only fine-tuning.
Right. Hey, well, it's a blessing, and we're out of time. And I'm just grateful that you were able to spend some time with us. I'm blessed. You encouraged my life as well. Thank you for being a guest on our show, my brother.
All right. God bless you.
All right. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. Amen, and that was Mr. Michael Reynolds, and that was a great, great interview. I love it when I just talk to the guest, and they just start sharing and stuff, and you don't know which author is gonna really just take off and just share. He had so much to share. He was so awesome in the interview, and we're excited to have him because, you know, just having that kind of person here really should encourage you that, hey, if you may have to wait 20 years, you may have waited 30, 40 years. But God is still going to use you, my friends. Don't give up. Know that what you're just going through what you're having to go through right now. You're going to somewhere. Amen. Well, write us, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com, david@revmedianetwork.com. We'll see you next time on The Midwatch. God bless you. I want to thank my guests, Michael Reynolds and Michael Norwalkie from the Larry on the VeggieTales. He was on our first half hour. All right, God bless y'all. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.